Lecture 22, Rome's Golden and Silver Ages.
Welcome again to our series of lectures on the foundations of Western civilization. This time, lecture number 22, on Rome's Golden and Silver Ages. That is, on the cultural life of the Augustan Principate, to which we addressed ourselves in our last lecture. Now, let's say, by way of beginning, that the inception of the Principate provided for several crucial conditions that were conducive to a high level of cultural achievement. Peace and security after a century of disturbances. We don't want to push that point too far. We certainly know of moments in human history when tremendous cultural achievements have been associated with times of great instability and war and violence and famine and other things. But this was nevertheless not the case in the first two centuries AD. This was a time of peace, stability, order, good government, and in that climate, culture flourished. It was a time of great wealth. It was a time when the Roman state was wealthy, when the Mediterranean basin was wealthy, and when particular individuals, yes, the imperial family at Rome, but individuals throughout the empire, were wealthy, and more importantly, were willing to spend their money on great cultural achievements, financing great buildings, supporting great writers, and so on. It was, finally, a time when reflection on Rome's past, reflection on Rome's character, reflection on what Rome had once been, was really quite natural. Because that world of older Rome, as we saw in our last lecture, was gone. And although there were people who were nostalgic about it, there were no longer people who were actually willing to lay down their lives to try to recreate it. So in a very real way, the effort and energy that was spent recreating that world was spent by authors, was spent by people who wrote about that older time. Now, the reign of Augustus has often been called the Golden Age. This was the age of many of Rome's greatest cultural achievements. It was also one of the great ages of poetry in all of Western history, and a remarkable array of gifted poets at this time. Let's begin then with these poets. Let's take them as our entree to the Golden Age. We'll come to the Silver Age, the rest of the first and the early second century, a little bit later. So let's use these poets as our entree to the Golden Age. And let's begin with the greatest of them, Publius Virgilius Maro, Virgil, born in 70 BC, died in 19, called by no less an authority than Tennyson, wielder of the stateliest measure ever formed by the mouth of man. Virgil is one of the true immortals, one of those poets who was read in antiquity and who has been read ever since, who has always been known by educated persons. He is best known, of course, for his great epic, his composed epic. I'll explain what I mean by that in just a second. And this is the Aeneid, the story of Aeneas, the founder of Rome. Now, you remember, perhaps, a couple of lectures back, I talked a little bit about Aeneas, whom I called the dullest character in epic literature, by way of simply eliciting some of the values that the Romans wished to hold up to themselves, what the Romans wanted to see when they looked in the mirror. Well, there's a great stock of stories and of traditions and of legends and of word of mouth and of probably urban legends as well that hide behind the Aeneid. But where this great poem is concerned, the first thing we need to say about it is that Virgil wrote it from the first word to the last. Now, actually, when Virgil died, about 24 lines of this poem were incomplete, and he wanted it destroyed. The Emperor Augustus, we are very grateful, violated Virgil's will, and he saved the Aeneid for us. And we don't mind those few lines that are incomplete out of his 12 books and many thousands of lines.